Amen. Thank you, Brother Rutledge. Turn my mic on here. All right. Thank you, Brother Rutledge. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here today. And I thank the Lord for being so good to us. If you have your Bible, turn, please, to the book of Luke, chapter number 5. I want to thank Unity Baptist Church for their continued support through the many years. And we appreciate your confidence in us. And pray the Lord will use us. And Luke chapter number 5 is our text this morning. We're going to be reading verses number 1 through verse number 11. And let's have a word of prayer. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the privilege, Lord, to try to stand and preach your word. But, Lord, there'll be no preaching done without your help. And we ask for your help and your touch, your unction. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd do a work in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the good word of God we heard earlier. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to my heart. I pray that you'd bless the man of God will come behind me, and I pray that you'd help him. And Lord, I pray that you just do a work here today. Lord, you know the need in each of our lives. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to be able to get something from your word today. God, I pray that your people get help, and Lord, that you get honor and glory. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter number 5, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him they would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them, and they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished at all that were with him, at the draught, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. You know, I love the Bible. There's a lot of times I'm guilty of not loving it like I should, but I do love the Bible. I love the Word of God, and I shouldn't have to say it, but I am going to say it. It's the King James Version of the Word of God. That's what it is. And the Bible gives us facts about creation. The Bible tells us what we are as sinners on our way to hell. The Bible shows us where we're going without Christ. The Bible shows us the only way of salvation, and we know that's through Jesus Christ. It tells us what the future holds. It shows us prophecy, talking about heaven for the saved and hell for the lost. It gives us instruction for our daily lives. And one thing I really like the Bible is that it gives us real life examples from history that real people went through, that people that Jesus knew, walked with, loved, and he loves us as well. Here in our text, by way of introduction, I see three things. There was a crowd that was gathered. Here in verse number 1, there's, if you will, you might say there's three different groups of people here. There's fishermen. There was a crowd. Secondly, there was a crowd of people that were pressing upon the Lord Jesus. And then lastly, there was the Lord Jesus there himself. There was three empty things that were there. We see here in verse number 1, there was empty people. They were hungry. They were looking and they were wanting the Word of God, hungry for the Word, the Bible shows us there in verse number 1. But also we see there were empty ships. These ships were not manned. There was no one in there, and there was for a reason, because they were out cleaning their empty nets.
clean their empty nets. Their nets weren't empty of debris, but they were empty of fish. They didn't catch any fish that night. Not only was there a crowd that was gathered, but there were three conversations that took place. If you will, look at verse number 3. The first conversation is between Simon Peter and the Lord. And he prayed him, it says, that he would thrust out a little from the land. So we see the first conversation here is there between the Lord and Simon Peter. But the second conversation was between Jesus and the people that he left there on the shore. The Bible shows us there in the latter part of verse number 3. He says, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. There's a third conversation that took place there, and actually it became the second conversation that took place between Simon Peter and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we find the third conversation was between them two, and the Lord tells Peter, launch out into the deep. He says, and let down your nets for a draught. If you'll notice just before that Simon was most willing to do what the Lord wanted when Jesus said, launch out a little. When God asks us to do a little, okay, Lord, here I am. But when God asks us to do something that's a little bit bigger, it's a little bit deeper, a little bit larger, we think, Lord, you just don't know what kind of night I've had. You don't know what I've been going through. He started making excuses, and Peter talked about their fruitless efforts. He said here, he said, Lord, we fished all night and we didn't catch anything. And he displayed some faith, but he displayed a faith that was weak. And I like Peter because I identify with him so much. But here we find that he displayed a faith that was weak. And he said, finally, and he agreed, and he said, okay, Lord, I'll go and I'll let down one net. And so we see here a crowd that was gathered and some conversations that took place. But at the end of our text, we see in verse number 11, the Bible tells us here, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. So here we see there was a call that was answered. Here at the end of our text, Peter, James, and John, they forsook all. I mean, that word all is a big word. It included a lot. And we find here that they forsook all and they went and they followed the Lord. But somewhere between the Lord's instruction and somewhere between the answered call that was in verse number 11, there's a very, very valuable lesson. And many times we find ourselves, or I do, I find myself like Peter and these other fishermen. And we've been out there and we've tried. We've tried to catch some fish. But these fishermen did more than try. The Bible tells us that they had toiled all night. And that word toiled means to grow weary and tired and exhausted and to be toiled with burdens of grief. It means to labor with wearisome effort, to toil of bodily labor. I mean, they weren't out there just whistling. Throwing a hook here and there. They were casting nets. They were working all night. I don't think they went out there to work all night. I think Peter said, James and John, get your men. We're going to go out and it'll be a good night. It won't take long and we'll be in. We'll get some rest. But they said, man, there's nothing. But they didn't give up. And they kept going. I don't think they were third shift workers. They just kept going and kept going, and they were wore out. It was daytime. Here come the people. Jesus is there. He needed a boat. He needed a pulpit to preach from. He uses Peter's ship, Peter's boat, whatever you want to call it. And here we find that they're tired. They've been toiling all night. And you know, there's something I admire about these fishermen. They even though they didn't catch anything, they were cleaning their nets. They were cleaning their nets. Old nets were made out of cotton. And if you left anything in them, any debris, any trash or anything in them, it would rot. And the net would be useless. You wouldn't catch anything. Something else I learned about a net here recently is that when a dirty net is cast out, I mean, even if it hadn't had time to rot and waste your net away, something else I learned about that net, if you cast out a dirty net, the fish, the school of fish, will see the dirt or see the dirty net, but they don't see an empty net. They don't see an empty net. They were cleaning their nets. It shows me that there's more than fish out there for us to gather in our nets. There's debris. There's trash. There's all kinds of things. The devil would love to get it caught up in the trash of this world, and God help us to keep our nets clean. These fishermen, they were all washed up. And they were ready to go home. I can identify with that. Many times that's the way I feel. Washed up and ready to go home. Tired, washed up, and saying, Lord, just come back and get us. Lord, won't you just come back and get us? Because we're tired. And we've seemingly failed. And we'd just rather go to the house rather than just keep trying. But the Lord told Simon, He said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. I want to take a simple little thing here tonight, this morning, and give you some thoughts the Lord recently blessed me with. I've only preached this one time. I did it this last Sunday morning. So we'll see how it goes here. So I've looked at this word launch. I want to take each letter of the word launch and give us six simple thoughts about launching out this morning. Launch. Number one, L. If we're going to launch, I want to say we're going to have to leave the shore. We're going to have to leave the shore. I see a call, and when I look at this here, when Jesus told Peter to launch out, I see a call from God. I see a call from the Lord in these verses. You know, I know, and you know, that not everyone is called to be a preacher or to be a missionary, but God has commanded each one of us as His children to be a witness for Him. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts, chapter number 1 and verse number 8, that you shall be witnesses unto me. He said, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into all and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Hey, I see here there's a call from God. That the Lord wants us to go and to be a witness, and not just to go out and catch a fish, but to catch a soul, to catch somebody, to show somebody the need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only I see a call from the Lord in this verse, but I see a step of faith in this verse. For some, it may be stepping out for the first time. God may be dealing your heart today about stepping out, about launching out, about doing something you've never done before. Hey, I tell you what, that first time you stepping out to do a certain thing, it's a big thing. It's a big thing. I hadn't always been saved. I got saved when I was 19 years old. And when I was a boy, I'd go to the public school and go to the places we shouldn't go. And we'd preach against the day. But I remember going there. And after I'd learned to swim, I finally got to go to the deep end. After I'd learned to swim, I finally got to go to that low dive. And after I built up some courage, I got up to the high dive. Brother Andy, it wasn't a real big high dive. But to me, as a little boy, I tell you what, that was a big thing. It was a big thing. I remember that first time standing there on a high dive. I thought, oh, I don't know about this. There might have been, I think there might have been a time when I even turned around and walked down the ladder. That was too much. Too much for me. I remember that first time. I remember that first time of trying to hand out a gospel tract. I remember the first time of trying to stand and try to preach the word. I think it lasted about 7 minutes. Probably if we get back to those 7 minute messages, God might do more with us. But what I'm saying, that first time, God may be dealing with you about launching out for that first time. So that first time to knock on somebody's door. That first time to speak up and say, hey, what have you thought about where you're going to spend eternity? I'm talking about launching out. And if you're going to launch out, you're going to have to leave the shore. You're going to have to make a move. You're going to have to make a move. For some, it may be that you're stepping out, like I said, for the first time. For some, it may be that you're just discouraged and you need to get up and go again. Amen. Hey, there's not a time for us to quit. There's not a time for us to step back and quit on God. We must keep pressing forward to the Lord. I'm like what Paul said in Philippians 3 in verse number 13 and 14. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth in those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We can't let our nets down when we're walking on the surf. We can't let our nets down when we're wading in the water. We got to leave leave the shore. We got to get to it. We got to go to the object at hand. Number one, L, leave the shore. Number two, A, accept the waves. Accept the waves. When we're on the shore, when we're there on land, we've got stability. We've got sure footing. We're not wondering about, we're not unsure. We got security. But in the deep, when you're out there on the water, on the boat, being moved, we've got to learn to move with the ship. If we're going to live for the Lord, we need to remember that as we're living for the Lord and as we're stepping out and as we launch out and we're doing what God wants us to do, and if we're doing what God wants us to do, it's going to be within the confines of His Word. And if we're going to do what He wants us to do, we're going to have to realize, hey, that there's going to be trials and there's going to be wind and there's going to be storms and there's going to be turbulent waters. I remember first pastor I sat under, I'm from Oklahoma, and before I came to Bible college in North Georgia, I'm a pastor on his office door. He had this little plaque that said this. It said, "Calm seas never made great captains." Yeah. I remember that. I mean, there's a lot of things I don't remember in the last 30-something years, but I remember that. Amen. Calm seas never made great captains. When you're in a storm, and when you're on the water, when you're trying to do God's will, hey, if we're not careful, we'll get sideways. We'll get sideways, and even a big ship, if it gets sideways, a rogue wave can turn a big ship over. If we're not careful, we'll get sideways with God. If we're not careful, we'll get sideways with our church. If we're not careful, we'll get sideways with the brethren. We're not careful, we'll get sideways with our pastor. Hey, we need to remember, our pastor is a man too. He's made of the same stuff that we're made out of. Hey, we're not careful. We need to be careful that we face the storms of life head on. Hey, there may be times when we're facing those big waves that are coming at us and we're facing them. Hey, we may get some water in the boat, but I tell you, there's going to be a lot less chance of going under or going over if we just face them head on. I'm glad we do have an anchor. I'm glad we got an anchor in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 6, there's times when the storm's coming, you're just going to have to let your anchor down. You hold on to the anchor. I'm glad we got an anchor in the Lord Jesus. Hebrews 6 and verse number 18, the Bible says, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge, lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul that's both sure and steadfast, which enters into that within the veil, whether the forerunner for us is entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We're going to have storms. We're going to have waves. We're going to have to, when we get to launch out, there's going to be problems. It's not always going to be smooth. It's not always going to be like that. Accept the waves. It's part of the trip. It's not always going to be smooth sailing. Number one, L, leave the shore. Two, A, accept the waves. Number three, U, understand your purpose. Understand your purpose. He said, I want you to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. He didn't say a drought. There's times when it seems like it's a drought. But he said, for a draught. You look at that word draught, and when it's related to fish, it means a haul. It means a haul. It doesn't mean, I mean, he's talking about a train load. He's talking about a haul. He didn't say we're going to go out there and catch a fish because you fished all night and didn't catch nothing. He said, I'm going to take care of you. Amen. I'm going to take care of you. We're going out not just for one, but we're going to get a haul. Now, they were not out there in the, he didn't want them to go out in the deep to wash their nets. They weren't going out there to wash their nets. I want you to understand, you know, too many times, Brother Gravely, I've seen it today, and I think you are too, that we're seeing young men deciding to go into the ministry as a career choice. Ministry is not a career choice. Ministry is a calling. It's a calling of God. The Bible tells us over in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 5. Now I realize, and I know you realize these verses here. If you will turn your Bible, I want to read a couple of verses here. Hebrews chapter number 5. I realize these verses are dealing with the example of the high priest. But I believe there's some applicable things here that we can see about how that God deals in a man of God, in a man's heart about surrendering to the call to the ministry. The Bible tells us here in Hebrews chapter number 5 and verse number 1, it says, "For every high priest is taken from among men." From among men. You notice that right there? From among men. And it says, "is ordained for men." For men. We're not in it for ourselves. We're not supposed to be in it for accolades. We're not supposed to be in it for big I's and little U's. Hey, we're in it to be, we're to be called among men. For men.
Amen.
For people. I mean, that's the purpose. Understand your purpose. It's for a draught. Look down, if you will. We could read more verses there, but I want you to look down at verse number 4. Hebrews 5 and verse number 4. "And no man taketh this honor in himself." You don't just step up and say, I'm going to be a preacher. You don't take this honor in yourself. The Bible says, it says, "But he that is called of God, as was Aaron." Remember your purpose. Understand your purpose. There's people out there that you can reach that I'll never see. There's people out there that you can reach. You say, "I'm a nobody." I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care if you're who you are. I don't care if you're just a member in the church. And that, I don't mean that to diminish you or to bring you low. I'm saying that every one of us can do something for God. There's people that you can reach and that God wants to reach through you. Understand your purpose. Jesus said in Matthew 4 and verse number 19. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. You see, to follow somebody, you have to be in line. To follow somebody, you've got to be in line. Too many times we're guilty of getting ahead. Sometimes we think we want to be in step with the Lord. Right, where is that? I want to be behind him. I want to follow him. If I'm going to follow him, I've got to be in line. And then you look at that verse there again. It says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." I grew up in Oklahoma on a farm. Both my granddads were farmers. My dad was in construction. I grew up around both of those areas of work. And my granddad had many acres of land and quite a few tractors and implements and plows and spring tooth and hamies and subsoilers and cultivators and color packers and all the different things. But that he'd line up an equipment there and he kept it in the equipment yard. And you know what, Brother Andy, I've never saw one of those plows, one of those cultivators, or one of those implements do anything until it was hooked to the tractor. He said, "Follow me." And he said, "I'll make you fishers of men." If we just get behind him, and if we just get hooked up, if we just get God on our lives, I think we could make a difference.
Amen.
L, leave the shore. A, accept the waves. U, understand your purpose. Number 4, look at N. I've titled this one Nets. Nets. God uses tools. God uses tools. We need not to get too high-minded and think that God has to have us. God doesn't need me. God doesn't need you. Yeah, if we were gone, somebody might miss us for a little while. Maybe not very long. But God uses tools. God uses tools. I'm telling you that the work of God was going on a long time before you and I came on the scene. And it'll go on after we're gone too. God used a donkey to speak to Balaam. God used a whale to get Jonah's attention. God used a fiery bush to get Moses' attention. And God may use us to throw a net or to bait a hook. But we need to remember that it takes the Holy Spirit to convict. We need to remember it takes the Holy Spirit to convert. And too many times, I think, many times we get lazy and think, well, the Holy Spirit needs to do a work. God tells us to launch out. God tells us to let down our net. Hey, what do we expect if we're not putting anything out? You say, well, you aim at nothing, what are you going to get? Nothing. We need to remember it takes the Holy Spirit. We shouldn't, sad to say, there shouldn't be big I's and little U's in the ministry. But there are. There are. And it shouldn't be that way. We're not in this by ourselves. We're among men for men. Paul, writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3, in verse number 9, he says, "For we are laborers." You know what Paul did when he said the word "we"? He included himself with those carnal Corinthian believers. And he said, "For we are laborers together." He didn't stop there. He said, "With God." And God wants to use us. God uses tools. And I know that every one of us have different personalities and different upbringings and different backgrounds. But God wants to use... God didn't save us to be pew warmers. God didn't save us to sit still, come to church on Sunday morning, and then do what we wanted to do the rest of our week. God has a purpose in our lives. L, leave the shore. A, accept the ways. U, understand your purpose. N, God uses tools, nets. Number 5, C, change your attitude. Change your attitude. Too many times, and I've seen it through the years, of bad attitude Baptist. We're guilty. Here we find that Peter said, "Lord, we fished all night. We fished all night. We've toiled, and we've taken nothing. Nevertheless, something changed." He changed his attitude. They went again after they'd fished all night. They'd caught nothing. You know, no, doing the right thing in the flesh will never get spiritual results. Too many times I'm guilty. Doing the right thing in the flesh, but not getting any results. They were tired. They were worn out. But what'd they do? They submitted. Nevertheless, they obeyed. And they caught so much fish that they didn't sink, but they began to sink. They began to sink. Something I've learned in the past 30 years is that the flesh will always rebel. The flesh will always rebel against God's will, doing God's will, and being a witness for Him. I still got that old man. I still deal with him. He still works on me, and I still try to work on him. God help us to repent. God help us to change our attitudes. Number 5, H. Launch. And I wrote down here, helpers. 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 If we're going to launch out, we're going to have to leave the shore. We're going to have to accept the waves. We're going to have to understand our purpose. We're going to have to realize that God uses tools and nets, and we have to change our attitude. And we need to remember that we need helpers. Amen. We need helpers. I've met some preachers, and I know some preachers today, that there's so much of the Lone Rangers, they don't even need Tonto. They don't even need Tonto. We're not in this by ourselves. Amen. We need helpers. I want you to notice our verse here. Look at verse number 5. Luke chapter number 5, verse number 5. "And Simon answering, said unto him, Master," look at the pronoun, "we. We have toiled all night, have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word," look at the pronoun, I will let down the net. "And when they..." I don't think Peter went out there on the ship with Jesus by himself. I believe Peter had men under him. He had helpers there. He said, my ship's going to go out. So Peter and his men that were working with him went out. And it says, "And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake." So it started out with "we," and then it went to "I." And then Peter figured out something, that their net began to break. Well, gravely, I've never seen this till just recently. Look at how that's spelled. B-R-A-K-E. It's not B-R-E-A-K. I was traveling back from a meeting I was in on Sunday, and we was there. We was coming down through North Georgia, and traffic stopped. And I was when I starts doing that, I start looking behind me because I'm looking in front of me, looking behind me. And the car behind me was coming so fast, and I couldn't brake too fast because it was going to hit me. So I ended up having to go to the shoulder. And I put on the brake, B-R-A-K-E. You know what I did? I slowed down in a hurry. You know what happened here when Peter was operating by himself, when he was only operating, doing part of God's will? I mean, he was obeying God, but he partially obeyed. He didn't let down the nets. He let down the net. You know what happened? It stopped. It began to break. Now, when I looked up that word in my Strong's Concordance, some of y'all are going to be smarter than me because I don't know what the answer is right here on this word. You look up in the English and B-R-A-K-E means to stop or to slow down. B-R-E-A-K means to tear apart, to break. You look it up, B-R-A-K-E in your Strong's Concordance, it literally means to break and tear apart. I don't know what the application, I don't know what the interpretation is, but I know what the application is. If we try to do it by ourselves, and we think that we're in control, and we think that we've got it going on, and we don't need help from nobody else, it's going to slow down. We're not going to get it in. We need helpers. Peter figured out by the time he got to verse number 7, and then he says, and they beckoned unto their partners. He said, come and help us, which were in the other ship, and they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. I noticed something about them partners there. They were looking. They were listening. They were wanting to be a help. They saw what was going on. And a lot of times we see somebody needs help, but they won't ask for help. Here we find that Peter, he realized it didn't need to be I no more. He said, I need my help. I need my helpers. I need partners. Amen. That he had left behind. There's no doubt that we need each other. I know that. Most of us know that. But there's some people that don't know it. We need helpers if we're going to launch out. I'm telling you, missionaries can't get the field by themselves. We need a partner. Church, congregation, pastors, congregants, we can't make it as individuals in the ministry, in the community where we're working by ourselves. If we're not working together in unity, it's going to break. It's going to break. It'd do us good to figure out that we need each other. God doesn't want us to stay where we are. He wants us to launch out. And to launch out, we need to be in the boat. Yep. To launch out, we need to be ready with clean nets. And to launch out, we need to remember that we've got a specific purpose in mind. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity to try to preach your word. I pray somehow, some way, God, that someone's got some help today. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to apply these areas in my life as well. We'll thank you and praise you for it. Bless the furtherance of the meeting, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.